Well, here we are again, Terra Nova, worshiping as a church scattered across the region, but yet gathered together on this, the Lord's Day, to worship Him. We're going to do something a little bit different this morning. I want you to pause in a moment to pray. Pray before we begin our time worshiping and hearing the Word. And I want you to focus on three things. Focus on first what we are praying for our church. Praying for the idea that as we are spending time apart, that this doesn't actually divide us, it doesn't separate us and make us feel alone, but that actually grows us stronger, and we use the ways to connect with each other during this time apart. And that when we gather again together, we will be stronger than we ever were before. Secondly, pray for our capital region. Pray for the churches around us. Pray for the people that may be hurting in this time, that the people that need to hear who Jesus is will find those places to hear who Jesus is. And lastly, pray for our country. Pray for the leaders of this country that are leading us into what is next, so that they will actually have the wisdom from God to direct us as we go forward. So I'm going to encourage you now to pause, not only pause to pray, but pause to get the communion elements that we will celebrate after Pastor Tori preaches for us this morning. Look forward to worshiping with you. Let's pause now to pray as we come before Him, our great God and King. Psalm 145, verses 1 through 3. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable.
You give life. You are love, you bring light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will say, great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. I come, God, I come. Return to Lord, the one who's broke, the one who's torn me apart. You strike down to bind me up. You say you do it all, love, that I might know you in your suffering. And though you slay me, yet I will praise you. Though you take from me, I will bless your name. Though you ruin me, still I will worship, sing a song to the one who's all I need. My heart and flesh may fail, the earth below give way. In my eyes, in my eyes, I see the Lord lifted high on that day. Behold the Lamb that was slain, and I'll know every tear was worth it all. And though you slay me, yeah, I will pray. Though you take from me, I will bless your name. Though you ruin me, still I will worship, sing a song. Though tonight I'm crying out, let this cup pass from me now. You're still more than I need. 'Cause you're enough for me. You're enough.
If you're joining us in the afternoon, good afternoon. If you're joining us at night, good evening. Regardless, thank you for joining and worshiping with us today. If you find yourself in the front lines of this virus, our doctors, nurses, first responders, please know that we are praying for you. We are thankful for you. We are proud of you. And we hope that you stay motivated and healthy and keep up the good work. We continue to pray for our country's leaders, for wisdom, of knowing how to handle this situation. If you're like most of us, you might have more time on your hands. Your daily routine has been disrupted, and you may have time. I want you to think about some of the benefits of this. You may have time to have deeper, more meaningful conversations with people that you know, with old friends, with family members. You might have the time to do that. You might have the time to catch up on some sleep, which some of you need, or to learn a new instrument, or learn to cook something new. There's a lot of there's always something to be thankful for in every circumstance, and we have a lot to be thanking the Lord about. We all have the opportunity, whether you're on the front lines or whether you're at home, we all have the opportunity to display our faith, to be the kinds of people that aren't gripped by fear, which we've seen. And a lot of people are just gripped by fear. That doesn't have to be us. We can have a simple, childlike trust in our God through this circumstance and through all other circumstances we find ourselves in this life. It doesn't surprise God. He's in control. He knows what he's doing. We can have a simple trust in him. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is childlike faith. It's in Luke chapter 18. You can turn there in your Bible now. Luke chapter 18, verses 16 through 17. Here's our roadmap. First, we're going to look at childlike faith. Good time to talk about that. Childlike faith. And then secondly, the furnace of faith. This is how he grows and matures our faith in him. It's often through the furnace. But before we do that, before we read Luke chapter 18, I want to talk to you very briefly about a superhero. No, not this superhero right here, the Thor you can see behind me. Very, very well drawn. I couldn't draw that well. But actually, if my camera, I have a professional camera crew behind me. Hey, appreciate your work. If you could show the people that drawing just so they get a closer look at it, I'm sure they'd appreciate it. Kind of just marvel at it a second. Wonderful. Now, I'm not actually talking about Thor, so that was a waste of your time. However, I am going to talk about a different superhero named the Hulk. So here he is, the Hulk. Maybe you've seen him before. This green-skinned, muscular humanoid that possesses a vast degree of physical strength. He can throw tanks across cities, that kind of strength. He also has an alter ego. His name is Dr. Robert Bruce Banner. He's very different from the Hulk. He's physically weak, socially withdrawn, and emotionally reserved physicist. But the two of them exist simultaneously with independent personalities, and they often resent one another. Now, Bruce turns into the Hulk when he gets very angry, and so he can't always control his anger. And when he can't, he turns into the Hulk. Eventually, he figures out how to control when and where he turns into the Hulk. And during one of the Avenger movies, they ask him point blank, how'd you do it? How do you control this now? And some of you know the answer to that question, but I'm going to save it towards the end of this message. For now, let's talk about faith. Luke chapter 18, verses 16 through 17. Here's what it says. Jesus speaking. Here's what he says. Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it. Jesus is speaking of childlike faith. If you want to enter into the kingdom of God, you have to receive it like a child, he says. Children know how to receive things. They're constantly asking. They're good at admitting they need help. They'll ask for stuff. They know they're dependent, and they know they need help from outside. Jesus is saying, have that kind of faith. If you want to enter into the kingdom, you have to know and admit that you can't do it by yourself. You need the faith of a child. Before I went to seminary, I started having some fear that getting a lot of knowledge, head knowledge, would somehow could be dangerous. And it can be. It could give pride. It could draw you away from the Lord. And I started to get a bit worried about that. And so I started to write on my hand almost every day, and I still do often, this little acronym, CLF. See that in my hand? Childlike faith. Just to remind myself that I don't know everything. I don't. I don't have all the answers. I often don't know why certain events happen in my life and in the lives of people that I care about. I just acknowledge that I need a lot of help, and I want to have a simple trust and dependence on the Lord, childlike faith, willing to reach out and willing to receive, being dependent on the Lord. It's simple trust, childlike faith. And Jesus speaks about that kind of faith. And I think childlike faith can unlock for us imagination, wonder, and awe in this world. And the fact that we serve and that a God like that exists, a God that wants to give to his children, the God that is in control of absolutely everything. It just unlocks this imagination that maybe we used to have when we were children, when we were kids. You often don't need to tell a child, hey, you should have an imagination. They often already do. They're already developing these stories and just are always in, you know, story mode. And they're so imaginative and they're full of wonder. And when we're born again as believers, we can recapture that imagination and even let it grow as we see the world through the lenses that God wants us to see it through his word, through the truth that eternal life is given through the Son of God, that eternal joy is ahead of us, that there's going to be a forever adventure around the corner, communion with God and with the people of God, a love that will never end. The hope we have as children of God is unending, and it can arise in us a kind of childlike awe and wonder as we simply take and believe the promises that God has given to us in his word. We don't need to be ashamed of that. We don't need to be embarrassed of that. We don't need to be ashamed that we're dependent and that we're people that need help and need to ask God for all kinds of things all the time. We don't need to be embarrassed. We can admit it. We can have a simple childlike faith in the Lord. How do we get that? How do we have that kind of faith? Well, I want to talk about the furnace of faith. Unfortunately, God often puts us through trials, through suffering, in order to refine us, in order to grow our faith. He wants us to grow up, and that's not contradictory to childlike faith. Growing up is developing a deeper, more trusting stance towards the Lord, a childlike faith in him. And so he grows us through suffering. That's often how he does it. Proverbs 17, verse 3 says, "The crucible is for silver, and the furnace is for gold, and the Lord tests hearts." Blacksmiths know exactly when that silver, when that fire needs to be snatched out of that furnace or out of that crucible. After all of the dross and the dirt has melted away, they snatch it out. And God, the divine blacksmith, knows exactly how long we need to be in that furnace of suffering through that experience of trial and pain in order to grow us, not to hurt us, but to change us into the likeness of his son, to grow our faith. It's a big part of what life is all about. Peter Kraft, a philosopher and professor at Boston College, says this about how God refines us. He says, "The point of our lives in this world is not comfort, security, or even happiness, but training. Not fulfillment, but preparation. It's a lousy home, but it's a fine gymnasium. The point in this life is not to be happy, but to become real, like the Velveteen Rabbit. To be tamed by God, like the fox says in The Little Prince. God doesn't want perfect performances, but loving persons. He's not a stage manager, but a lover. The singer counts more than the song. The universe is a soul-making machine, a womb, an egg. Jesus didn't make it into a rose garden when he came, though he could have. Rather, he wore the thorns from this world's gardens." He wants us to grow up. He wants to mature our faith. He wants our heart. Psalm 66 says, "For you, O God, have tested us. You've tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance." Proverbs 24:10 says, "If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small." He wants us to have strong faith, faith that doesn't faint when hardship comes, faith that doesn't give up and that doesn't give in to fear when circumstances change. He puts us through the furnace to refine us. He wants to change how we think about this world. Psalm 17 says, "For some men and women, this world is their portion in life. You fill their womb with treasure. They're satisfied with children, and they leave their abundance to their infants. As for me, I will behold your face in righteousness. When I awake, I will be satisfied with your likeness. He wants us to remember once again that this world is not our home. He wants us to set our eyes, as the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, set our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Have faith. Consider not just the present, but the future, and have faith. Don't fear. Proverbs 31:25 says, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. Do you have the kind of faith that allows you to have humble, simple confidence in God now, and that allows you to not fret about the future? The problem is that we falsely assume we know what's best for us, and that we know what should or shouldn't happen for our lives. The fact of the matter is we don't know what's best. We don't know what events happen that seem to be bad but actually are being worked out for the good for ourselves and the people that we know and care about. You see, there's a story that's told in Eastern folklore of a man that lost his horse that ran away. And his neighbor came over and said, "How terrible it is that your horse ran away." And the man responds, "What do I know about these things?" A couple days later, the horse returns with 20 other wild horses. And the neighbor comes back over and says, "Well, I guess it's a good thing that your horse ran away, because now you have 20 more." And the man responds, "What do I know about these things?" A couple more days go by, and the man's son is taming one of the wild horses, but the horse kicks his son and breaks his leg. And the neighbor comes over and says, "I guess it's bad after all that these horses came back, because now your son's leg is broken." And the man responds, "What do I know about these things?" A couple more days go by, and a gang comes through town and wants to recruit young, teenage boys to join their gang. And they see this young boy, and they see he has a broken leg, and they leave him alone. They don't try to recruit him to their gang. And the neighbor comes over and says, "I guess it's a good thing that your son broke his leg, because now he's not part of that gang." And the man responds, "What do I know about these things?" The point is, what do we know about these things? We don't know. We don't see the end from the beginning the way the Lord does. We don't understand why the virus had to spread the way it is now, or why different. Life doesn't stop. There's all kinds of other problems we have going on in our lives. And God calls us every single to take one day at a time and say, "Lord, today I trust you. Today I go to you. I don't know how you're working these things in my life. I don't know what you're going to do in this person's life that I'm praying for right now. But I trust you today. I trust you now. I don't worry about the future. I know you hold that as well." What do we know about these things? Let's let our God in his wisdom take care of us. Our part is the faith. Our part is to trust him as a child trusts his or her parents, no matter what. Now you might be wondering, okay, that's great. But how does Bruce Banner control not turning into the Hulk? Because I've been just waiting for you to say that. Well, here you go. When the Avengers asked him, how do you control it? What do you do? Bruce Banner responded by saying, "I'm always angry." Now, I'm not telling you to always be angry. That's not the point. I am telling you to always be full of faith. It's always there. Your faith can always tap into it, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what changes, so that people can come up to you and say, what is with your life? How do you respond the way that you do? How do you treat people with love and concern how do you seem to put other people above yourself? What is it? The faith can always be there. We can always tap into our faith in the Lord, not in ourselves, not in our circumstances, not in other people, in God himself. Let's have faith. And let's have faith as a church that whenever this ends and we go back to meeting together, let's have faith that we're going to come back stronger. Let's have faith that we're going to cherish the church gathered in a way we never have before. That we're going to cherish tribes, which I've seen already, by the way, and I appreciate mine so much to be able to reach out and talk to them through being more isolated now. We're going to come back stronger. We're going to come back and cherish our tribes, our church gathered. We're going to come back and we're going to see people that have never come to church before. Let's have faith that that's the case. There's going to be people that are going through this, these, however long it is, and they're going to see believers like you and me handle it in a way they don't understand. And they're going to want to know, what do we believe? What is different? And they're going to want to learn about God, because that's what God is always working. He's always drawing people to himself. Let's have faith, Terra Nova. Tap into your faith. It's what gets us in the kingdom. It's what keeps us in the kingdom. It's what makes us more like the King. Our faith in the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself up for us. This virus, it's eventually going to be gone. But the virus of sin that leads to death, the disease that's under all diseases, that's not going away anytime soon, not until the Lord returns. So in the meantime, we look to him. We thank him, the one who broke himself on the cross for our sins, the one who shed his blood for us on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, the one who has given us his perfect life and taken our penalty of sin on himself. We look to him, we take communion together, which we're about to do during the next couple songs. Maybe this is a good time to explain, if there's someone with you that's not very familiar with what communion is, to be able to take some extra time, talk about it, and take communion together.
Shepherd, he goes before me, defender behind me, I'm filled with anointing. My cup's overflowing. No weapon can harm me. Thank you. Your spirit is within me, so I will walk in your peace. Your spirit lives within me, my victory, your spirit lives within me, so I will walk in your peace. Your spirit lives within me, my victory, hallelujah, I am not alone. He's my comfort, always holds me close.
Christ alone, the cornerstone.
come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone.
And a good day to anyone who is digitally visiting us. My name is Dennis Gardner. I serve as the operations director in Troy, New York. When you're done watching this video, please click on the show more description below this YouTube video panel. There are a series of links that you can access for communication and information in these days ahead. I will reference that throughout here. One of the regular Sunday pieces that you'll notice is missing from our video services is the time set aside to give our tithes and our offerings. Thankfully, at Terra Nova, we've always had ways to give and tithe online and via text, and a lot of people in Troy choose to give that way. Those ways to do so are also in the description, as well as our mailing address. So if you're one of those who gives by way of dropping in the bucket on a Sunday morning and you'd still like to continue to give physically that way, please feel free to snail mail your giving to us at the address below. Terra Nova Church staff is still working steadily throughout the week to keep the church functioning behind the scenes, so that'll all get taken care of. I also want to take a moment to talk about the generosity campaign that we began earlier this month. It's entitled We Can't, with a subtitle that states, but we rely on the God who can. This is not a message that we're going to be foregoing in our time of remote services. Actually, the message and the vision for the next 2 years and now, that vision is even more clear and necessary than it was before. This virus and where we find ourselves as a church is not a surprise to God. He didn't bring us into this initiative and into this time and then realize he made a mistake. We Can't is exactly the message that we need for Terra in light of what we're facing in these days, because we can't be who God calls us to be without him. So if you had one of these and you looked through that, you'll probably notice that the preaching and the topical schedule, as well as some of the event dates, have, of course, been shifted. I would encourage you to keep looking through this booklet, working through this booklet. If you don't have one of these, there's a downloadable link in the description below. This campaign isn't going away. It's not even being paused. We want to continue as best as we can with everything that We Can't is about. One more thing, again, please don't hesitate to reach out directly to any of our pastors for questions, for clarifications, for prayer requests, for needs, etc. So I would love to bookend our service time here with a benediction, and please let me read 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. The Word of God says this, church: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. Amen. Have a great week, Tara. Please stay safe.